Well, welcome everyone to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything we talk about is aimed at helping you lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in these anxious times. And my name is Irvin Nugent. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host and collaborator, Bridget Tyre. Bridget, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I mean, how could you not be doing great on a day like today as we are recording this in the DC area? It is one of the most spectacular days. So I've been fortunate enough to be on two short walks already, and I may fit in a third. It's just a glorious day, right?
Yeah, you just want to be outside. There's this magical breeze, and it's, at least for me, perfection.
Absolutely. So, all right, Irvin. Tee it up for us.
So today our episode is how to restore trust when it's broken. So the obvious, of course, is that trust is essential. I don't think anyone would debate you when you say part of leadership is building up trust, and organizations that have high trust perform better. And it's not just me thinking that. Research says it. You know, Paul Zak, who is a very famous researcher around trust and really goes into some depth around trust and around the neuroscience of trust. But, you know, he's done research on companies with low trust. And what he's found is that 74% of people in high trust companies have less stress. They have more energy at work, 50% more productivity, 13% fewer sick days, 76% more engagement, 29% more satisfaction in your lives, and 40% less burnouts. There it is.
Wow.
Trust works in organizations. So I think we know that. But the thing is, you know, trust can get broken and often does. And so a more difficult question is, what happens when trust is broken? How do we restore it? So today I thought we could dig a little deeper into that. What are some practical things we can do? And maybe look at a few examples of business leaders who either inherited or may have caused a lack of trust and how they fixed it. But before we begin, Bridget, I'm always curious, you know, about that topic in our lives. So do you tend to establish trust easily? And what have you noticed about yourself when trust is broken?
Well, it's a great question. I'd like to think I establish trust easily, but maybe you should ask family members and colleagues.
So true.
But I will say this, that as a coach, you can't coach people without trust. They just won't become vulnerable with you. They won't learn. They won't be curious about themselves. So I have learned to establish trust in that context pretty quickly by being authentic, by listening deeply so that people feel seen and heard, and by caring, you know, showing that I actually care about their hopes and aspirations. So I think all of that does build trust. And I noticed that, you know, I'm always like, okay, I'm in a coaching situation. I'm like, well, when can I bring this up? And you know what I always ask is, how much trust is there between us?
Yeah.
Because once there's a lot of trust, you can almost share anything.
Yeah.
When there's not a lot of trust, you got to be much more discerning. So in that context, I would say I build it pretty easily. What I notice about when trust is broken, whether it's for me or as I listen to my clients, when they say, I don't trust this person, is that, you know, almost nobody intends to break trust. It just happens. But when it happens, we often ascribe motives to people, like they meant to do this, you know. But really, how many people wake up in the morning and say, I can't wait to like betray somebody? Or we just, you know, it's what happens is the impact doesn't match our intentions and trust erodes. And then what I notice is for myself and others, it's always a missing conversation then. Right.
So true. Yeah. You know, it's so true you say that, because I think that's where I fall as well. I tend to trust people very easily, maybe over easily. But anyway, I do. There's the enthusiasm of wanting to connect with people.
Yeah.
But what I find is when trust is broken, I get stuck in my own stories, and I can make loads of stories about why, what it was that happened, why it happened. And I can get a little bit hurt because I personalize it. I tend to this was done to me. And specifically the person thought about this. And so what I have to do is really get out of that story and call myself and say, you know, yes, it's not about you, and zoom out a little bit. And I suppose, you know, that's really part of why breaking trust is so difficult, you know? You know, I think we talked a little bit about Paul Zak at the beginning, you know, and he talks, you know, from a neuroscientific point of view. And, you know, trust is essential. Going back to the very earliest days, it's what created human societies.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to thrive and survive as human beings, then we got to trust each other, because we didn't do it alone. We did it as part of a group. And so there's this biological need we have to trust, because without it, you know, you can't build relationships, and society is built upon relationships. You know, we meet a new person, there's a lot of questions going on, you know, and one of the big questions is, can I trust this person? We have a neurotransmitter called oxytocin, which is this neurotransmitter, which actually chemically helps us bond with other people. Hmm. And just think of that. I mean, that it's so innate is building trust to us that we have a neurotransmitter, which helps us do it. But what's also being found is when trust is broken, we begin to feel lots of different emotions, anxiety and fear and anger, mm-hmm. and we have lower levels of oxytocin.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know, we know that trust is important, but let's just, you know, with many listeners there who may be in a situation where trust has been broken, or they inadvertently maybe have broken trust. So, Bridget, I'm curious, have you any strategies or come across strategies? What would you say to a leader who said to you in a coaching session, hey, you know, I did this and I've broken trust. Like, how can we rebuild it? What would you dialogue with them about?
Yeah, well, I have a couple in mind, but I want to just tag on to something you said about your own personal experience of getting stuck in your stories.
Mm. Right?
And I think maybe that's a really good place to start with a leader is, hey, what are the stories that are being told about this incident? What are the stories you're telling yourself? Mm. What are the stories you're hearing? And, you know, we're going to make assumptions that those stories are valid and accurate, but they may not be, but they're powerful anyways, right? There's always a story. So love that, Urban. I would say that besides being mindful of the stories that we tell and not believing them necessarily, I would say acknowledging the breach, the break in trust clearly and honestly is the very foundational thing. Because if you don't do that, there's no way through, right? Now, you may not have intended to break trust. You may not agree with the story that the other person is telling about it. But if they don't trust you as much because of it, then you got to own what happened. You got to just own your role in it. You got to own what happened. Oh, you know, I've broken trust. I didn't mean to, but I did. And instead of getting defensiveness, right, or blaming something else. And I think, you know, don't minimize it. I often think that's a thing that is common for humans to do.
Yep.
You know, oh, yeah, but it's really not that big of a deal. I don't know why you're so sensitive, for example. Naming the impact, you know, just like taking the time to acknowledge how other people were impacted emotionally, practically speaking, you know, what have you. So here's an example. Let's say a leader made a decision and moved forward and did not loop people in or did not get their input first. And that's a trust breaker, right?
Sure.
Maybe something gets said like this. You know, I realized my decision to move forward without your input broke our agreement. I told you I would do that. Quite frankly, I forgot. And that's not okay. And that hurt trust, and I get it. And I want to be accountable for that, you know, or some such version of that, right?
Yeah. You can just feel that. You can feel kind of the, when said, you know, with sincerity, that's there's something healing in those words.
That's a really good word. I think it's healing when a leader is able to acknowledge a break in trust and own it.
Yeah.
It's like a salve for the wound.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would say the other thing that then would follow that is to invite some feedback and listen to it so that you can learn from it, right? And really invite perspectives and get a sense of how people on the other side of this breakdown in communication, this breakdown in coordination, or whatever happened, you know, how it really landed for them. I think what happens is because leaders are problem solvers and fixers, what they generally tend to do is rush to fix something as opposed to pause to understand it.
Yeah.
So that's what comes to me. How about you? What would you add to that?
Yeah, yeah. The other thing then, of course, I would just say, so I think they're great in the sense of acknowledgement, of listening. And then I think it is, well, have you learned your lesson? So then it is, do we demonstrate some consistency and follow through? So just in that example, kind of, I said I was going to consult with you. I didn't. I'm sorry. I want to be accountable. And now in the future, when that happens, have you learned? Do people say, oh, they've learned their lesson. Now they're consulting us. I see that they have changed. And, you know, keep promises about that. And almost, I think you have to a little over communicate then. If trust has been breached and people say, well, you didn't say that. And then it's okay. Now let me be sensitive to this and communicate and just, you know, recognize, just like we are ourselves, people now are looking at your actions, not just your words. Okay, well, you said that before. I don't know if I can trust you. So are my actions meeting my words? Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
Yeah, because any gains that you made from acknowledging the breakdown in trust and listening are eroded if you do it again and again, right? So that's so important. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's try and embody this a little bit. I'm curious, Bridget, is there a leader that comes to mind that perhaps was able to restore kind of broken trust?
Yeah, you know, I've given this some thought, and an example I think would be great to share with our listeners and kind of explore a little bit is Brian Chesky, the CEO of Airbnb during the COVID crisis. Mm. Now, of course, during COVID, there was a huge opportunity to rebuild trust and a huge opportunity for breakdowns in trust, right? So it's going to go one way or the other.
Sure.
And with Airbnb, think about what naturally happened to their business during the global shutdown. People stopped traveling. They weren't traveling and they weren't renting and they weren't anywhere. So their business pretty much collapsed overnight. Mm. You know, I had a friend who has a property that she hosts on Airbnb. And I remember that time with her. You know, she was like, she had the entire year booked. Mm. And then overnight, she had nothing booked.
Wow.
So, you know, imagine that, right? Yeah. And so he had to make, you know, Brian Chesky had to make the painful decision to lay off nearly 25% of the company's workforce. And, you know, how you handle things like that is going to make or break trust levels.
Totally.
No doubt, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whether with employees or customers who have rented this. So, you know, he led with transparency and vulnerability during this time. And that's what impressed me most, because he didn't hide behind either jargon or, oh, we couldn't help it. You know, this has nothing to do with us. He, in fact, wrote an open, heartfelt letter to employees, which I think is pretty neat. Mm. And in the letter, apparently, he went into some depth explaining his decision. Why are we doing this? Mm. How painful it is to do it, but here's how we decided it. And he wanted them to know that he made the decision with the values in mind that he felt, you know, really convicted about, which was, you know, fairness, right?
Yeah.
But then to your point, Irvin, he followed that up with actions.
Mm.
And he did some things that I think are really pretty obvious that he meant what he said. Like, he gave employees 14 weeks of severance, and in some cases more time if they had more tenure. He extended their health coverage, you know, the people that were let go. He had a policy of laptop retention, so laid off staff could search for jobs effectively. I mean, that's like a personal time.
I love that. Yeah.
And then he had this public talent directory and job placement support in place for folks. So those actions went far beyond industry norms, right?
Yeah.
During a time of great uncertainty and stress, and in the midst of a very unpopular and painful decision, he actually, I think, restored trust and strengthened trust, not only with employees, but with Airbnb hosts too, because he like refunded guests that were affected by cancellations and did a number of things there. So all the stakeholders, I think he was mindful of, and he stayed connected, you know, and he communicated, not with spin, but with heartfelt messages.
Yeah.
He didn't hide. He showed empathy and follow through. And I just think that's a pretty good example of how you can, events outside your control often end up breaking trust, how you can still own it and use the opportunity to strengthen relationships. What do you think, Urban? What stands out?
Yeah, no, actually, just what you said really hits me hard as well. It would have been so easy for anyone, and I'm sure there were replete with examples of this, that this is beyond our control. It's like the airlines, you know, if the weather caught beyond our control, we can do anything. And so it would be so easy to kind of hide behind that. But in a way, what strikes me there is the willingness still to be a receptacle really for people's anger and people's hurt and understanding of that. And to really, you know, it doesn't matter why it's happening, it is happening. And I want to be part of, first of all, that journey. And it could mean so easy to hide behind legalese, et cetera. So I love that. I love that. It says a lot about him as a human being and his ability to connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah.
So how about you, Urban? Like when you think about repairing trust, is there another leader that came to mind for you?
You know, there is, because I think many of our listeners, if they're in a leadership position, they inherit a situation. Sometimes they inherit a good situation. You know, we're taking over, and sometimes we're inheriting a situation that's not so good. We're inheriting a situation where a leader has bombed or failed or done something. And a really public example of that, I think, was with Uber, where, you know, there was Dara Khosrowshahi, I think that's how they pronounce it, took over from Travis Kalanick. And it was a very interesting takeover because Uber was reeling from a lot of situations that had happened from the previous leader's actions and decisions. Uber had grown rapidly throughout the years, but there was a high cost to it at the way it had grown. There was a culture that was very aggressive, very toxic. Publicly, they were going through a sexual harassment investigation, and that was uncovering a lot of real HR failures not to deal with it, not to be proactive. And then there was a lot of clashes with governments and regulators because they were operating really illegally. You know, a lot of this was new. Uber was kind of a new way of doing business. So, and they didn't follow through with doing things legally. So trust was broken. You know, when you think about it, trust was broken with employees, trust was broken with external regulators and external relationships. And so to take over that, it's like, wow, where do you start? What do you do?
Yeah.
And I just thought the way that they did it was amazing. First of all, very much like your example, an acknowledgement of what the reality is. I thought that what he did was, you know, publicly acknowledge that the company's failures, and he published a blog post called Moving Forward, where he delineated everything that had happened. So there was no, I'm not covering up here. It is bad, and I'm acknowledging it is bad. The other thing was, I'm accepting personal responsibility for this. So it's not, let's blame the other guy. He left. It's all his fault. I knew I had nothing to, no.
Yeah.
It was a personal responsibility for that. And so therefore, I take responsibility to transform the future. And I thought, you know, so we talked about defensiveness. There was no defensiveness here. And then there was that, if we're going to solve this problem, then this is really has to be a redefinition of culture and the core values. And I think what he said about was, let's just reset the culture. And part of that culture had broken trust. And so therefore, the new culture included, you know, what are the ethics? How are we going to be accountable to each other? He prioritized psychological safety. You know, very interesting. You know, if trust is being broken, people don't feel safe. And especially in an organization with a very toxic culture where there's sexual harassment, unless people feel safe, they can't function. So part of that was, you know, helping people feel safe. And then I think the final thing that he did, which was really interesting, was transparency and humility. And so, you know, open communication. So this is the beginning step, and we're here to listen. And so there was regular town halls, there was candor. You know, people very often in a culture know if they're able to speak and if they're not able to speak. And so he encouraged candor, et cetera. So I think And I think what this reminds us as well, and I think I remember listening to some of what he said, is, you know, trust can be built overnight. This is a long-term process. And I think that's really important for leaders. You know, if you're inheriting a situation where trust has been broken, you're not going to fix that overnight. You're not going to fix that in a few months. It takes time, it takes consistency, and it takes a commitment to want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Bridget, what strikes you about that example?
Gosh, it's just, there's a lot in that example. And I actually didn't know. Well, I did know about the period that Uber went through, right?
Where
toxic. And I remember even some Uber drivers talking about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, lately, I mean, I take Ubers and I don't hear anything about that anymore. And it never occurred to me like, hey, what happened there? Because I wasn't aware of the story. I think there's two things that strike me. One is that he took personal responsibility and didn't lay the blame where it really did reside, which was the previous leadership. Yeah. I think that's remarkable and rare.
Yeah.
Again, I think we crave leaders who are willing to do that, but we don't see them very often. So I find that inspiring.
Yes.
And then the other thing that really strikes me is there's a quote, and I'm not going to remember right now who said it. Maybe you will, Irvin. And it really comes from the healing modalities, not so much about trust in organizations, but it's something like we can and often become stronger in the broken places. Like when you break a bone and it heals properly, it's even stronger.
Yeah.
And I think that's the opportunity with breakdowns in trust. With a leader who's willing to lead during that you can actually come out stronger.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, it takes a lot of intentionality.
Yeah.
And it does not happen overnight. But I think to our listeners, I would say, don't be afraid of breakdowns in trust.
Yeah.
Lean in.
Yeah. If I could use a golf analogy, it's not, no one expects a golfer to always drive the ball down the center. They're always going to get into the rough. The sign of a great golfer is how they get out of the rough. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, people don't expect to work in perfect environments where trust is always kept. We all know we're human beings, but that's it. The measure is not that trust was broken. The measure is how do we recover? That's the sign of true leadership, which is really important.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that just came to my mind is how often leaders inadvertently break trust and don't even know that they have through just everyday behaviors. And it could be something as simple as rescheduling meetings constantly, or, you know, failing to keep a person in a loop on an email, or being late to meetings, right? Yeah. You just don't realize that over time, trust is leaking. I invite our listeners to also reflect on that. What behaviors of yours might have led to some breakdowns in trust that you aren't aware of until you actually take a look and think about it?
Yeah, such a great question.
Yeah. Mm. Well, this has been a really great conversation. And thank you, Irvin, for initiating this topic, because it's a timely one, I think.
Yeah.
Especially in, you know, circumstances where uncertainty resides and there's anxiety, trust is foundational, right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of great, I guess, core principles here to just, let me take a minute to kind of draw them out from the examples that we shared. You know, transparency is key.
Mm-hmm.
I think owning your role, taking responsibility versus getting defensive. I think resetting or recommunicating cultural values, what you stand for individually and collectively. And of course, clear and consistent messaging.
Yeah.
Boy, is that important, right? Yeah. So what a great conversation about trust. And Irvin, what do we have teed up for next time?
Yeah, interesting. So next episode, we are going to take it to our buddies. And the title is called The Body Never Lies. And we're going to look at a phenomena called leadership embodiment. What is it and why does it matter? So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that episode.
Excellent. Well, thanks everybody for being here today. And we look forward to hopefully joining us next time.
Take care, everyone. Bye now.